get into the lesson this morning. One is I just want to add my thanks to the Murr family again for the watermelon feed last night. It was a great time. You know, there was more than just eating watermelon. Although, you know, as soon as everyone got there and the watermelons got out, you never heard the lack of slurping in your life. I mean, there was a lot of good feasting that was going on. And I'm not a big watermelon person. I was there for the fellowship, but I heard several say it was the best watermelon they'd ever eat. So there was no doubt that Emily is one of the tops in watermelon production in this area. And it was so nice of them to be able to share that with us. We also passed out psalm books. It was great setting out on a summer evening. There was a breeze blowing. We sat under the shade. The conditions were perfect. And we sang songs of praise together in that setting, and there was just something very special about that. And then, as someone mentioned last night, you know, the difference between a mature adult and a child, that there's a very fine line, and the child just lays under the surface. They had a watermelon seed spitting contest. And there were all ages. And when I say all ages, I don't remember. Maybe there was one or two teenagers involved in that. But the rest of them were pretty much 50 and 60 and older that was involved in that. And everybody showed well. I don't think he did the spit. I think he did it with his fingers. But Craig Kellison won that. And it was a good time as well. So everybody had a great time. And of course, the Murrs just have a show place out there in the country. Once you can find it and get out there, it's a beautiful place. And everybody had a good time. We thank them so much for inviting us out for that. Secondly, in your bulletin, the announcement that was made about the sacks of groceries, certainly holds true. You know, we have been collecting groceries to get into the position where we can start this program in which we will give out food in exchange for Bible studies. And we were able to start that this last week. And understand, we started accepting calls. We always get calls for food. We don't have to advertise that. We always get calls for food. We started that Monday. We got two calls this week. We set up two Bible studies. The first one was a no-show, but Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, George Barnhart and I were able to sit down with a man and share with him the gospel in the next hour. And it was one of those things that, you know, I've been involved in pantry programs and things in different congregations over the years. But I told George whenever the gentleman left, I said, you know, I feel better about giving out that sack of food than any other sack of food I have in my entire life. Because we were able to plant the seed of the gospel, the seed of truth in that man's heart. And he was very interactive and very hooked up throughout the entire study. And he was very grateful for it. And you know, we hope that will continue to produce fruit as God takes over now in his heart and weighs upon his heart in the days to come. But it was a great reward to be a part of that. But I want you to understand that we just started the program and we had two studies, could have very well given away two sacks of food. And I think that that's going to get even more tremendous as we go along. Because eventually word's going to get out that the Hartford Church of Christ is giving away food, and there's going to be even more people calling and more people wanting to take part in that program. So, you know, understand that that is a work that you do. You know, everyone in this congregation participates in that. Everyone in this congregation had a hand in planting the seed of the gospel in that man's heart last Thursday. And we're going to plant some more seeds before this is over. And so we're going to have to continue to provide groceries and look at that list because, you know, it's specific for a reason. When we go and put those things together, we can't put big bulk items in. I know we can sometimes get those cheaper and it seemed more practical, but it's actually better if we can get the smaller quantities of different things to put in the sacks. They fit into the sacks better, and they're better used by the folks. And if you can't supply the food and but want to participate by giving them money, then we've got that option as well. And then also, you know, George helped me last Thursday in taking part of the Bible study. Several of you have also requested an opportunity to set in on Bible studies, and I'm going to implement you. I'm going to get you in on these Bible studies. We're planning on starting a Monday night for the Masters, either in September or October. And I am going to be teaching, for those who are interested, I will be teaching you how to hold these Bible studies, how to teach the gospel to someone, the very study that we're doing with these folks. And so if you want to learn that, you know, you'll have opportunity to do that as well. So, you know, I look for this to be a big way to spread the gospel in our community. And I'm thankful that we've got the opportunity to do it. I'm thankful that you're involved in it. And we want to continue that as it goes along. But, I wanted to share that with you because I tell you what, there's not a greater feeling to be able to sit down and just study the gospel with somebody. And I'm so thankful that we've got an opportunity by which we can do that more often with people in our community and plant the seeds of the gospel, which I believe is our responsibility and our duty as Christians anyway. Okay, this morning, as we continue our study on love, we've talked about what love is. We have talked about the love of the Bible, the love of God. We've talked about how God loves us and all the different blessings that are associated with that love. We've even talked a little bit about how we can love God back. But you know, one of the things that it's not enough just to know what that love is. It's not enough just to know how God loves us. But at some point in our life, hopefully sooner rather than later, we have to implement that same love in our walks and our interactions with others. You know, there was two parts to the answer that Christ gave as to what is the greatest commandment. The first, he said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind. But then he said that the second is likened unto it, to love thy neighbor as thyself. So, you know, this is something we're supposed to be doing as well. It's not enough to just say, God loves me, and look at what all he's doing for me. We have to implement that same love in our walks and interactions with others. And there's probably no better place to start in looking at how we do that and the responsibilities that we have in sharing that, how we can actually show people what this true love is, than to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to start there this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, an area of Scripture that we're all familiar with. A lot of times this is called the love chapter. It really speaks more towards spiritual gifts than love in some respects. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, start with verse 4, Paul gives us an explanation of not what love is. We've discussed what love is. But he gives us an explanation of some responsibilities that show that agape love as we practice it. Okay? Verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And so it is, as we take a look at these verses, as it explains to us the responsibilities of showing what this love is, what I want us to do today and also next Sunday is let's break this down. And let's take a look at just exactly what is it our responsibility in fulfilling these things and showing the true love of the Bible, showing the agape love that God shows for us. And we start with love suffers long. This means that love is patient. There has to be patience in love. You know, I think all the Christian virtues, all of the virtues of the Bible, all the things that we're told to do are important. But patience may be one of the hardest things, but maybe one of the most important things that we need to try to strive to implement within our life. An unknown writer once wrote, "There would be a lot less divorces if husbands showed as much patience at home as they do while waiting for a fish to bite. And wives showed as much patience as they do waiting for that pair of shoes they want to go down $5 more at the department store." You know, there are areas of our life that we are willing to show patience in. But certainly whenever it comes to love and our interactions and our relationships with others, we need to show patience. True love shows patience. Patient love does not react with anger whenever wronged. It does not become frustrated when irritated. And it is willing to wait for good things to happen. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 shows us that this is the way God is with us. And this is part of the aspect of the agape love that He has towards us. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us." That means patient. He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God loves every soul that walks this earth. God is waiting on every soul to repent and turn to Him. See, He's waiting for something good to happen. And His love is such that He wants for that good to happen. And He's willing to wait for that good to happen. We need to be the same. You know, so often we're quick to bounce on the faults of others. But if we're going to practice true love, we won't be so quick to bounce on the faults of others, but we'll wait for the goodness and bring out the goodness in others and encourage the goodness in others with kind words. That's also a part of love that we'll talk about. So we have to be patient with love, just as God practices patience with us. Love is kind. It has a heart. It's being sweet and considerate to others. It's being willing to yield to another. It is the kind of love that caused Mary, the sister of Martha, to anoint the feet of Christ with a very expensive perfume and wipe His feet with her own hair in John chapter 12, verse 1 through 8. You know, kindness is probably the virtue that expresses true Christianity more than any other virtue. Don't you think? I mean, whenever you're actually thinking about, you know, what is a Christian? If you had to describe a Christian to someone else, if someone didn't know what a Christian was, and you were describing a Christian to someone else, how would you describe that person in order for them to understand what a true Christian is about? Wouldn't you say this is a person that does a lot of good and kind things? And you might describe some of those good and kind things. Well, you know, there's nothing more expressive in love as a Christian than showing kindness to others, being considerate to others, being sweet to others. Not a person who gripes and complains about others. You know, that's so anti-Christian. And so anti-kind, that's what we see in the world, right? And sometimes, unfortunately, that's what we see in our own lives. But if we're going to be true Christians who are going to practice the true love of God, you know, I really don't see God setting before us and setting back and just criticizing everything that happens. You know, I just don't see Him talking bad about everybody. I think He gets very disappointed, and sometimes He may even get angry. But again, God wants the good. And God wants to encourage the goodness in others. So as we talk about love, we need to be a kind people in the way that we talk about others and in the things that we do towards others. This exemplifies the true love of God. British statesman and financier Cecil Rhodes, whose fortune was used to endow the world-famous Rhodes Scholarships, was a stickler for correct dress, but apparently not at the expense of someone else's feelings. A young man invited to dine with Rhodes arrived by train and had to go directly to Rhodes' home in his travel-stained clothes. Once there, he was appalled to find the other guests already assembled, wearing full evening dress, and he didn't have time to change. After what seemed a long time, Rhodes appeared in a shabby old blue suit. Later, the young man learned that his host had been dressed in evening clothes, but put on the old suit when he heard of his young guest's dilemma. A simple act of kindness, a simple act of consideration, and yet it showed true love. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10 tells us very simply, and it's not hard to understand. It's a very simple teaching. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. A man by the name of Alexander McLaren once said, kindness makes a person attractive. If you would win the world, melt it. Do not hammer it. You know what? There's a lot of wisdom in that. That's exactly what God tries to do for us. And that's exactly what God encourages us to do. And when you look at the nature of Jesus Christ and the way He interacted with people in His earthly ministry, He was the shining example of kindness. And what was He doing as He was doing this? He was showing what true love is all about. Love does not envy. Love has the feeling of gladness when others have it good. Again, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. This was the love practiced by the early Christians. In Acts chapter 2, verse 44 through 45, it says, now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. You know, there is no place for envy or jealousy in the life of a Christian, especially the life of a Christian who accepts the love of God and is supposed to be loving others. We just can't be practicing envy and jealousy and be practicing the true love of God. We should rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep and feel good about others whenever good things happen to them in their lives. Love does not parade itself, and it is not arrogant. Those who practice the love of God have a humble heart in interacting with others. You know, whenever I was growing up in the congregation in Noble, Oklahoma, there was a deacon in charge of benevolence, very similar to Denny. And Denny reminds me a lot of this man. His name was Bob Brown. And Bob was one of the most humble people you just ever run across. Never wanted credit for doing anything. You know, never wanted any kind of praise on himself, was always ready to handle praise out to others. But he was put in charge of benevolence, and you know, let me tell you, and Denny could tell you this, there's a lot of work involved in benevolence. You know, there's always those who are in need, and there's a great deal of discretion that goes on with that. But it takes somebody with a humble heart and a compassionate heart to do that job. And I remember Bob Brown, even though he never told anybody about what he did, everybody else talked about what he did, you know, that had been affected by his work. there were so many times that he was called in the middle of the night by people in the community saying, you know, I need help with this. I need some food, or I'm stranded. I need a little money to help me get to this place or another. He never complained about having to get up and go and do those things. Never complained about it. But I'll tell you something. He had more people talk about and reflect upon his goodness than probably any other Christian in that congregation. You know, when we talk about what true love is not arrogant. It doesn't parade itself before others. It doesn't have to have a great deal of praise. It does what it needs to do because it's the right thing to do and because it's needed. That's what true love is. And again, that's what Christ is. You know, we praise Christ today, but he didn't ask for praise while he was on the earth. We glorify Christ today. He didn't ask for that glory while he was on the earth. He received it by the life that he lived and because of the sacrifice that he did upon the cross. And we continue to sing his praises. But he showed us, while he was in human form, man form, on this earth, what true love was all about, in that he did not parade himself. He was not arrogant, but was always very humble. Love does not behave rudely. I've got a friend who just recently passed away, longtime preacher for the Chickasha congregation, preached for nearly 35 years in that congregation. His name was Jim Shearer. And one of the things that Jim did while he was still alive, and I think after he retired as a preacher, is that he put together a commentary on the New Testament. And he says in his commentary based upon behaving rudely, he says there is a graciousness in Christian love which never forgets that courtesy, tact, and politeness are always a part of Christian behavior. Again, people will tell that we are Christians by the way we act in just common courtesy and politeness. And you know as well as I do that common courtesy and politeness is unfortunately a fashion trend within our society today. Used to, men would not curse around ladies. Nowadays, ladies curse around men. Used to, homosexuals remained in the closet. Nowadays, they think that everyone wants to know their business. Used to, fornication was a shame to the participants. Nowadays, they want you to congratulate them on being in love. Common courtesy, politeness, and morality is a passing fashion. But if we are going to exemplify true love, we need to be a courteous people. We need to be a polite people. We need to be a moral people. This is as God is as well. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, something that's not hard to understand, it says very simply, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Now, I don't know if it's just the way that I was raised, and I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that my speech has always been wholesome. But I am going to stand up here and tell you that the way I was raised, you know, my parents did not use foul language. And they taught me not to use foul language. And to this very day, whenever I hear foul language used, I do not associate that with Christians. I just don't. I don't think Christians are supposed to use foul language. I think we're supposed to be just as the Spirit inspired, wholesome with our speech. That it be good and edifying to those who are around us. And so it is that as we show others love, Let us show them courtesy and politeness with our speech. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Finally, this morning, love does not seek its own. From an unknown source comes an article titled, How to Be Miserable. It says, think only about yourself. Talk only about yourself. Use I as often as possible. Mirror yourself continually in the opinion of others. Listen greedily to what people have to say about you. Expect to be appreciated. Be suspicious. Be jealous and envious. Be sensitive to slights. Never forgive a criticism. Trust nobody but yourself. Insist on consideration and respect. Demand agreement with your own views on everything. Sulk if people are not grateful to you for favors shown them. Never forget a service you have rendered. Shirk your duties if you can, and do as little as possible for others. This is a recipe for being miserable in your life. The Bible says simply, love does not seek its own. And over and over and over again, as you read through the New Testament, you will see that same encouragement. Because you see, to truly realize, we talked a little bit about this morning in the teenage class, to truly realize what Christianity is all about, I have to realize I'm not living for myself. Life is not all about me. The time that God gives me is not all about for me to consume on myself. True Christianity, realizing the true purpose of why we are here, is to, number one, serve the Lord, and number two, as is implied here, serve others. And if we would show true love, we're going to do that very thing. Because think about it, folks. What has God done for us but served us? He has given to us blessings and continues to heap blessings on us. Is he thinking about himself when he does that? No. He's thinking about us. Why does he do it? Because he loves us. So it is that if we truly are going to love others, and we say that we love others, and we say that we love God, we also need to show love by looking to the needs of others and not seeking our own. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 4, one of my favorite passages in the Bible, says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And if we have to ask the question, why? It gets answered in the next verse, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to go even further and say it wasn't just was in Christ Jesus. It is in Christ Jesus, because Jesus still continues to consume his time by thinking about us. Because he continues to grant to us the salvation that we need within our lives. He continues to grant to us the physical things, just as he promised in Matthew chapter 6. All these physical things I will give to you. Aren't we blessed with physical things this morning? Don't we have clothes on our back? How did a lot of us get to church this morning, to worship this morning? Did we not have vehicles to drive? Did we not have the money to buy gasoline to put in those vehicles? Do we not have homes to go to, a warm place in the wintertime, a cool place in these hot days in the summertime? We are blessed tremendously by our God. Christ still continues to keep your interests even before his own. And so it is, if we are to show true love, let us not consume our lives with focusing on self, because that's not love. We need to focus on the needs of others, and we need to focus on the service of our Lord. If you're here this morning, you haven't obeyed the gospel, you have opportunity to do so. You may not have opportunity to do so beyond this moment. This may be your final moment to take advantage. And that's not to scare you, it's to stress to you the urgency of doing what you need to do and accepting the love of God and His grace through the means of salvation through Jesus Christ. And here's how you can do that. You can do that the same way that all of the early Christians, those thousands of Christians that were responding to the Lord and being added to the number of the saved, it says that they believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They were willing to confess that before others. They repented of their sin, put off a worldly lifestyle, and made necessary changes to be more Christ-like. And they were being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins and their sins being washed away and added to the number of the saved. And from that moment on, we see evidence in the book of Acts. And a lot of you have been studying the book of Acts on Sunday mornings and in your Bible classes as you've been taking a look at the kingdom. And you'll note the fact that they were showing love by doing the very things that we discussed this morning and that we'll discuss next week. And so it is, if you would like to be part of that kingdom and you would like to know today that you are saved, then we urge you and stress you to do just as the early Christians did and just as been explained to you this morning. And we stand ready to assist you if you'll but come while together we stand and sing.